I never asked to ride the motorcycle.
Oh, of course you did. You mean somebody put you behind on the seat?
A test drive takes a destructive turn.
He said, you have to ride this thing. It's crazy.
Mr. Poacher rode your motorcycle, crashed it.
The whole thing stunk.
Now he's in pursuit of payment.
It was his responsibility to insure the motorcycle and not my own.
So you let the defendant ride a bike that was uninsured. That's a no-no.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Mitchell Barham is suing former friend, 21-year-old Charles Chad Poacher, for crashing his motorcycle.
Order. All rise. This is case number 160 on the calendar, in the matter of Barham versus Poacher. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Folks, have a seat.
Mr. Barham, how long do you know Mr. Poacher?
Approximately 1 year.
Where did you meet him?
I met him through his friend Josh.
And his friend Josh is sitting on your side, so Josh was his friend that introduced you, is that right?
Correct.
Do you work, go to school? What do you do?
I'm a high school coach.
In what school?
School in Orange County.
What school?
Edison High School.
How long have you been there?
3 years.
Have you ever brought a lawsuit before in small claims court?
No.
Your lawsuit says that Mr. Poacher rode your motorcycle, crashed it, causing substantial damage to the motorcycle. He had your permission to ride the motorcycle, but he didn't have permission, according to you, to ride the motorcycle in the place where he ultimately took it and crashed, which was on the Pacific Coast Highway. Mr. Poacher says that there were never any restrictions about where he could ride this motorcycle, that he was encouraged to ride the motorcycle by you to give it a test drive, and he says you should have had insurance. That's your defense.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, now, you buy a motorcycle. On what date did you buy the motorcycle?
April 26th.
And you already had a motorcycle?
Yes.
How many motorcycles do you have?
At that time or currently?
Then. I don't care what you have now.
This was my second motorcycle.
Why did you buy the second one?
I buy them, I fix them up, and I resell them.
So you flip them?
Yes.
And how long have you been doing that?
Off and on for 4 years.
So the one that you bought on the 26th of April was one that you intended to keep yourself or to do whatever had to be done on it and sell it?
For resale.
Did you buy it at a good price?
Yes.
How much did you pay for it?
$6,400 for the motorcycle.
And tell me the year of the motorcycle and the manufacturer. Not that I know anything, but there'll be people out there who watch this who will understand.
I did bring comps for you, Your Honor.
Hmm?
I did bring comparable prices.
Just tell me what you paid.
I paid $6,400 for a 2008 CBR 1000 RR.
And is that a good motorcycle?
It is a fast motorcycle.
Now stand up. Now, Josh, at some point you brought Mr. Poacher?
Yes.
Mr. Poacher over to see Mitch and his motorcycle.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell me how that came about.
Chad and I were just hanging out at my house one day, just doing whatever, and I go to Mitch's periodically. I walk his dogs, I hang out with him. I'm friends with his kids. So I just figured, let's go hang out with Mitch, let's go see what he's doing.
Okay, so you're hanging out,
and
how does he get involved?
I brought Chad with me to Mitch's house.
Just to hang out?
Yeah, just to hang out.
Is that right?
That's correct.
And what happened when you got there, Mr. Poacher?
I waited on the porch with Josh until Mr. Barham returned from his ride. He was out to San Clemente with his daughter on the back of one of his other motorcycles.
Okay, and?
When he returned, he approached me and told me to take a look at his new motorcycle, so I did, and he offered to let me take it for a spin.
No, what did he say to you?
He said, you have to ride this thing, it's crazy.
Is that what he said, Josh?
No, ma'am.
What did he say?
There was no specific dialogue about you need or you don't need to ride this motorcycle.
What did Mr. Barham say to Mr. Poacher?
How do you like my new bike? And they were just speaking about the bike.
And then?
And then they started talking and more about it, and then Chad said something along the lines like, this thing's pretty crazy, like how fast does it go? Then Chad was in the market at the time for a faster bike than the one he has.
So he had a motorcycle also. Don't tell me he was in the market for a new one. I want you to tell me what he said to Mr. Barham.
He said, can I ride your bike?
And Mr. Barham said?
He said, yes.
Good, and then he got on the motorcycle.
There was other dialogue.
I would like to hear it.
They were talking about it, and Chad and them got
choosing. Look over there. Look right here.
Chad said if I were to buy the bike, like I don't think I could afford it. And Mitch said, well, you can make monthly payments to me. And
so they were having the conversation about perhaps buying it.
Correct.
Hand down. You weren't there, right?
That's right.
Not interested. So they were talking about, I don't think I can afford it, but you can make monthly payments.
Correct.
That conversation was being passed back and forth between these two people.
Yes, ma'am.
You remember that?
No, I do not.
Go ahead.
And then Chad proceeded to ride the bike.
No, was there a key in it, or did he just push him out of the way to get on?
No, Chad asked if he could ride the bike. Mitch said, yeah, of course, just stay in the neighborhood, be safe, it's a fast bike.
Stay in the neighborhood, be safe.
Yes.
And?
So Chad rode the motorcycle. He called me once from the Bluetooth headset in his phone, and I missed that call. My phone was not on me. I called him back, and I couldn't get connected with him, so we called back and forth a few times. Got in touch, and he said, wow, this bike's really fast, something along those lines. And I said, Chad, you know, hang up the phone, you're riding a bike right now. A few minutes later, he called me back again. We couldn't get in touch, we had to call back and forth, and he said, you know, I crashed the bike, I'm on these streets. So we went and got him.
Okay. Now, you have a bike.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you have insurance on your bike.
I do, Your Honor.
Because you need insurance, because you have a license plate on it.
That is correct, Your Honor.
And you have another bike, Mr. Barham.
Yes.
That you were riding with your daughter that day.
Yes.
And there's a license plate on the back of that bike.
Yes.
So you have insurance.
Yes.
But you did not have insurance on this bike.
Correct.
So you let the defendant ride a bike that was uninsured.
That's correct.
You're not supposed to do that. You gave him permission to ride the bike.
I was under the impression, I asked him, do you have a motorcycle license? Do you have insurance? He said, yes. I thought that made it covered.
No, you know him for a year. You know he has a motorcycle. You weren't going to ask him anything about insurance. That I don't believe. That you said you have a license and you have insurance. You know he rides a motorcycle. You've known him for a year. Have you ever seen him on his motorcycle?
Yes.
Of course. So you knew he had a license. So you let him ride a motorcycle that was uninsured.
Yes.
That's a no-no. How old are you?
21, Your Honor.
21. Tell me about the accident.
I was riding down Pacific Coast Highway and went to make a right-hand turn onto Newland Street in Huntington Beach. And undisclosed to me, the motorcycle had a brand new front tire on it that had not been properly worn in. And when motorcycle tires are brand new, they have this slick finish, which makes it so that when you turn the bike, it falls over, the tire does not grip. That happened when I was going to make a right-hand turn at a reasonable speed, and I fell.
Certain things don't happen by accident. You may not have known about this new tire. That's your fault. You say you were going at a reasonable speed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Who knows? I don't know that. But unless somebody is doing something wrong, accidents usually don't happen unless there's an act of God involved, like a lightning strike. Because what you said was you hit an oil slick, right?
Yes, Your Honor. However,
you said you hit an oil slick. Now, if you had been going at a reasonable rate of speed, maybe you would have seen the oil slick, and you were riding on somebody else's piece of equipment. So you have to accept a certain amount of responsibility, sir, for having the accident, right?
Your Honor, when Mr. Barham gave me the keys to his motorcycle, he assumed any and all risk. It was his responsibility to insure the motorcycle and not my own.
It's your responsibility, sir, not to have an accident. You assumed the responsibility of somebody else's property. Somebody else's property. He said, I want to take it. I'd like to borrow your motorcycle to see how it works. You took their property and you destroyed it.
Your Honor, I never asked to ride the motorcycle.
Oh, of course you did. You mean somebody put you behind on the seat?
No.
Started it, you took it out, and you made at least two telephone calls, because you acknowledge you made two telephone calls in your answer.
Yes.
Right. Okay. How much is it going to cost to fix the motorcycle, and can it be fixed?
$6,985.
Well, you didn't pay that for the motorcycle.
I know that. There was no insurance or the bike would have been totaled.
Your Honor, could I please say something?
About what?
I was sent an estimate for repairs from Mr. Barham.
Oh, then I'd like to hear you. Can you tell me what the estimate for repairs?
Yes. Well, initially I tried to stay out of the whole thing because my son is an adult and I wanted him to handle things for himself.
Right.
Until I started realizing that...
No.
Okay, so
I
got involved.
All I want you to do is tell me what the estimate was that the plaintiff sent you.
It was for just over $3,000. And it was a detailed estimate from, I believe, the place that ended up doing the repairs.
Did somebody do the repairs?
Yes, ma'am.
Show me the bill. And you know I have a telephone very close by. Oh. Did you save the estimate that he sent you?
I have it on my phone.
I'd like to see it.
Okay. It's in my purse.
Would you go out through the exit door behind you and bring me the phone? Because I'm telling you right now, sir, if you sent her an estimate that is less than $6,985, I'm dismissing your case. I'm telling you that if you sent the defendant a demand for payment for damages to the motorcycle And that demand was less than what you've just furnished to me.
Yes.
You're in deep trouble.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Is that what he said to you? We could just hide the damage and sell it to some unsuspecting person?
He did say that was a possibility.
I would never, ever try to hide something and pull a fast one.
Well, that's what you said. You used the word hide. I didn't use the word hide.
And later today.
So she doesn't get an A for parallel parking. That doesn't mean you're entitled to hit her car.
Yes, but I would expect someone to be a better driver than
I would expect that God would have been fairer to me and made me 5'8", but it just didn't happen.
Cases, real people, Judge Judy. Mitchell Barham says former friend Charles Chad Poacher owes for crashing his motorcycle. Charles says Mitchell should have had insurance on the bike.
Now, I want to see the original estimate to fix the motorcycle.
Yes. There's two ways to fix the motorcycle, and Chad was involved in this. For $3,000, we could put fairing over the damage to the frame and hide the damage. And we discussed that. And I said, I'm fine with that. Let's hide it, let's sell it, let's be done it. I don't have to make any money on it. I feel bad. These guys are friends, they're not friends anymore. He seemed like a really nice guy. The whole thing stunk. After he quit communicating with me, I said, listen, if you don't pay me.
So now, sir, is that what he said to you? We could just hide the damage and sell it to some unsuspecting person?
He did say that was a possibility.
Yeah, then we could just hide it over, put a bunch of stuff over it, and sell an unsafe motorcycle to somebody who was unsuspecting.
There's nothing unsafe about it, Your Honor. The frame was not structurally damaged. I would never sell a structurally damaged vehicle. It was, however, completely scratched up. And when you go to sell a motorcycle, you're going to have to tell someone, this bike has been an accident. It has been damaged. You can see it. All you have to do is look. It substantially reduces the value of the motorcycle. I would never, ever try to hide something and pull a fast one.
Well, that's what you said. You used the word hide. I didn't use the word hide.
I just meant so it wasn't to the casual observer, it didn't look like the bike had been in any kind of.
Well, if there was no structural damage to the bike, then all you had to do was fix the outside.
True. And I told him, I'm fine with that. But if you don't pay me, if you keep ignoring me, I'm going to fix the bike and make it brand new just like it was before the accident. And to do that, that's the dollar amount.
I don't believe that that's what you paid.
I have only paid the $3,000 deposit.
Right.
That's correct.
Now, where's the bike?
The bike's at the shop.
Your Honor, if I may approach the bench, I have pictures of the motorcycle immediately following the crash for your consideration.
Bird, would you get those photographs for me? Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. What are you showing me these pictures to demonstrate, sir?
That there was not much damage done to the motorcycle, certainly not $7,000 worth.
Well, you know, he offered to fix it for half that, sir.
I even offered to let him make payment.
He offered to fix that for half. He spent $6,400 on a motorcycle, and his motorcycle, the way it was after you returned it to him, was worthless to him for the purpose from which he purchased it, which was to sell it. So it was worthless after you got finished with it. However, Mr. Barham, your problem is that you're going to bear some of this responsibility because had you had insurance, the strong probability would have existed that you wouldn't have had any out-of-pocket. Maybe $1,000 if you had a $1,000 deductible.
Lesson learned.
Well, so we have to find some compromise that's reasonable.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today,
I asked her about her insurance.
I don't care about her insurance. You were driving without a license and an uninsured vehicle, and you're blaming this on a poorly parked car?
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Mitchell Barham says former friend Charles Chad Poacher owes for crashing his motorcycle. Charles says Mitchell should have had insurance on the bike.
Okay, so let us assume for the moment, because your mother is having difficulty finding her phone, and I have a limited attention span, you know. I could be a year older by the time she gets back, and nobody would like that. Let us assume that you fixed the motorcycle, sir, for $3,000.
Correct.
And that you can take the motorcycle out of the shop now and sell it.
Correct.
In your estimation, what would you be able to sell it for?
$7,200.
Okay, so you're really not out any money at all. We've taken care of this without you. Sit down. So you'd be able to make up at least some of this money. So I'm going to award you $1,500. That's my award, because you smashed, crashed, and due to your negligence, the bike was broken. It cost him $3,000 to fix it. He would have ended up with a profit anyway. But I think the two of you have to share the cost. of fixing the motorcycle. He, because he let you ride it without insurance. And if, God forbid, if your head was split open, there would have been no insurance to pay for your medical bills. And unless you're covered under your mother's policy, you would have been in deep trouble. So Mr. Barham is a smart guy. He knows that he did the wrong thing by letting you ride the bike with no insurance, so he has to suffer part of the consequence. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $1,500. Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
I'm happy he's not hurt, but I'm still out the money.
I think it's pretty fair.
I think he was riding too fast and took a corner too fast.
The bike had a brand new front tire on it that had not been properly scrubbed in, and the bike slipped.
No more test drives without money in hand.
I'm glad it's over.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Romero versus Ballou. Step forward.
Jennifer Romero is suing motorist Aaron Ballou for vehicle damages after he hit her parked car. Aaron claims the accident was caused by Jennifer's bad parking.
Mr. Ballou, you don't know the plaintiff, is that correct?
That is correct.
However, on what date did you hit her parked car?
I believe it was on March 19th.
Is that right?
I think it was March 16th, 2014.
And at what time of the day or evening did you hit the plaintiff's parked car?
It was around 11.
P.M.?
Yes.
Where were you going or coming from?
I was just coming from a friend's house and I was headed home.
It was on a Saturday night?
Yes.
What were you doing at your friend's house?
We had a meeting just with some other guys.
You meet to do what?
We talk. It's like a Bible study.
A Bible study?
Yes.
Nobody drinks anything?
No. The officer, obviously that would be one thing that you'd be concerned about on a Saturday night, but he checked and no, I had not been drinking any alcohol.
Okay. When you hit the plaintiff's parked car, had you been using your cell phone?
No.
Had you looked at your cell phone?
I do not believe so.
What does that mean, I don't believe so? Ordinarily, if someone is not intoxicated, they don't hit a parked car.
Yes, on the road, I came around the corner and there was a couple other parked cars right there, but her car was sticking out about a 30-degree angle when I hit it.
Well, that's all right, but you still hit a stationary object.
Yes, but it was sticking out in the road where your moving objects are supposed to be. Moving objects drive down the middle of the road.
Yes.
And if there's an object in the middle of the road where you're driving, obviously you're going to hit them.
No, not if you have your eyes on the road.
They were on the road.
Her car's dark. How could they be on the road if you hit her car that you said was in the road?
It's a poorly lit road. Their car's dark blue. It was sticking out. That's the reason that it got hit.
You have headlights, don't you?
Yes. Man, there's two. It's right around the corner. I came right around the corner, and there's really no time.
You came too fast around the corner if you hit a... Listen, so she doesn't get an A for parallel parking. That doesn't mean you're entitled to hit her car. That wasn't the cause of the crash was that your eyes were not on the road.
Yes, but I would expect someone to be a better driver than
I would expect,
park.
You know, I would expect that God would have been fairer to me and made me 5'8", but it just didn't happen.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Are you the victim of a scam? Go to judgejudy.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter.
Now, you hit a parked car. Did you have a driver's license that was valid?
Not at the time.
How come you said that very quietly, not at the time?
Well, because I did not realize it until then.
You didn't realize that you didn't have a valid driver's license, but you wanted her to realize?
I didn't realize that it had been, yes.
Did you have insurance on your car? Is not an answer.
We had switched bank accounts. It was on automatic payment, and so it did not go through.
So you had no license and no insurance?
I asked her about her insurance.
I don't care about her insurance. You were driving.
Yes.
Without a license and an uninsured vehicle, and you're blaming this on a poorly parked car?
Can I see
an estimate of the damage in the pictures, please?
Sure.
Now I know why we're here.
Great.
I assume in your Bible study class that you go to at your friend's house, they teach you about taking responsibility.
Yes.
Right. What kind of car do you have?
A Honda Odyssey.
What year?
2003.
Take a look and see the value of a Honda Odyssey, please. If it's worth more than $4,000.
EX minivan?
Yes.
EX minivan?
Mm-hmm.
$3,900.
Oh, that's close enough. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $4,000. That's all. Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
A growing conflict between neighbors.
You had some vines on your property. You're encroaching on the defendant's property.
The vines have been there for about 30 years.
They don't want them there.
Judge Judy.
It took several months to try to get a hold of him, to have him take responsibility for hitting my car.
If you're going to be parking a car, especially at night, you need to make sure it's at a safe place and not in the road for other people to be hitting.
When you mess up, take responsibility for what you've done right away instead of trying to run from it.
Be more responsible, making sure your insurance is up to date.